Nothing in this recording is intended as investment advice, and the people in this recording may hold positions in the companies they talk about. Do not make any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello, and welcome to Zacks Traders Cafe. Today I'm joined by Warren Wheatley, who's founder and CEO, and by Safin Mazy, who's executive chairman at the African Bitcoin Company. Hi today, gents.
Hey,
Hi,
Zach.
how's it going?
How are you doing?
In your name, the Africa Bitcoin Corporation is actually quite a lot in there. The clue, I presume, is in the name. Maybe one of you can tell us what is actually going on at your company.
So, Africa Bitcoin Corporation is the first publicly listed company in Africa to adopt a Bitcoin treasury strategy. We are currently a financial services business that has been funding SMEs across Africa. We're going to be adopting Bitcoin as our core treasury asset to bolster the balance sheet so that we can access pools of capital from around the world, bolster the balance sheet, and continue our mission of, you know, supporting SMEs across Africa. So it is actually all in the name. And we're going to be listing on Aquis in the next few weeks. And that's why we, I guess, why we're on a UK talk show or
right.
podcast.
Okay. So that's a summary. The backdrop to your arriving in Aquis is that in, I suppose, the late spring, early summer, there was a sort of flurry of companies adopting a Bitcoin treasury strategy on the London market. Some shares went up from 1 to 100 or 10x rises. It was a very, very popular area. The dust has obviously settled down, or not obviously settled down, it has settled down. And people are probably looking more for companies. You know, you can't just say we're going to adopt a Bitcoin treasury strategy. There has to be a bit more meat on the bone. Clearly, you have a proper proportionate business to the treasury strategy. So you're actually using the Bitcoin in a practical way to sort of lend against or borrow against or whatever you need to do with the Bitcoin.
Let me jump in there for a second. I think when you take a look at Africa, the dust may have settled in the Northern Hemisphere, but I think in the Southern Hemisphere, it's not settled and definitely not on our continent. So I think the base value proposition of a Bitcoin treasury company is the following. It enables a risk-based exposure to Bitcoin with the intention of incrementing performance, i.e. outperforming Bitcoin's core performance. So our sole objective is continuously and perpetually to increase Bitcoin per share. Now, if you take that as a base kind of plan for a Bitcoin treasury company, the base case for that across Africa is still a significant opportunity. If you take a look at markets where this play has played out, i.e. in Japan, Metaplanet, Smarter Web, where you are in the UK, you can notice that there's normally one dominant company that does this. There's others that try to mimic it, but you normally have a leading player. And that leading player, when launched into the market, has first mover advantage. And usually there's market dynamics around why it is so popular. In Japan, yield starved, and the United Kingdom just can't gain access to the facility or the Bitcoin itself. In Africa, we got a combination of that throughout the entire continent. You know, in South Africa, there's a lot of dormant capital that's left undeployed because of political uncertainty, currency debasement, etc. That's a huge opportunity for Bitcoin treasury company. We do listed in Namibia recently. There, you can't even buy Bitcoin. In certain countries, it's illegal. Across Africa, the pent-up demand to gain exposure to this asset is significant, yet there are no rails, there are no exchanges, there's no regulated manner to gain access to it. So for us to do list across those jurisdictions, across the African continent, is a significant opportunity. And our play is not just South Africa, it's African. So yes, the dust may have settled globally in the north around Bitcoin treasury companies, but us launching here in South Africa with our continental play, we believe the base value proposition still has a lot of headroom simply because of the pent-up demand. Africa has suffered currency debasement. I mean, we've got so many examples, right? Michael Saylor keeps talking about, you know, he quips and he says, no one wants to own property in Africa. He's 100% correct. You know, he talks about insulin to a diabetic as what Bitcoin is to an African. That is completely correct. We suffer from all economic factors in an accentuated way. And what the Bitcoin Treasury Company, African Bitcoin Corporation, represents is an unlock. It's an unlock to this pristine asset, to perfect money. And we believe there's a lot of headroom around that, relative to outlay.
So actually, in a way, Africa, a frontier area, as you they would describe it here, it's actually better. Bitcoin is a better invention for Africa and Africans and the financial system there than it is. It may be in a more stable, more developed, more high tech environment
So Zach,
as Europe.
we actually say Bitcoin is made for us. I mean, that's a tagline that we've been carrying around. So for you guys in the UK and Japan and Europe and the United States, when this asset goes up and down, it's an inconvenience. When payments don't work in Africa, people die. People die. And I'd like us just to, for a split second, pause on that. For us, this is not just a financial opportunity or a market opportunity or an economic opportunity. We have a conviction around this particular play. Bitcoin was made for us. And that's why you see Bitcoin adoption in South Africa and sub-Saharan Africa is the highest in the world in terms of it being used as a medium of exchange, merchant acceptance. We've got more merchants accepting Bitcoin in South Africa alone than anywhere else in the whole world. In sub-Saharan Africa, more people pay with this asset than anywhere else in the world. Why is that? It's because of the accentuated challenges that we have. So Bitcoin was made for us. We're using it today on a day-to-day basis. We love it. We get the value proposition right away. We don't have a skeuomorphic, diverse view of Bitcoin. We get it. You talk to an African in the street about Bitcoin, they get it right away. Corporations in Africa suffer from the same things. Pension funds suffer. The fixed income market is yearning for this asset, and we're very excited that we're going to create the rails and the railway stations for them to get onboarded.
So you'd have your Bitcoin, you'd be lending against it, you'd be so it wouldn't be like some companies here where they just we bought 10 Bitcoin and that's it. You'd actually be using that to get a yield of 20%, 30%. It's something to trade against, basically.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Warren, you can chime in there. Maybe talk about the MNAV premium that we can justify over here.
So, Zach, what we would be doing is, the same way any bank or insurance company needs a balance sheet to be able to, attract deposits, issue various instruments. In the same way, we're going to use Bitcoin to bolster and galvanize our balance sheet. That's going to give us credit worthiness, given Bitcoin's acceptance now globally as pristine collateral. And the play, quite simply, is we'd be able to borrow money in Japan or Switzerland at 6, 7, 8%, or even in the US at 9%. And we're going to be able to on-lend that to small businesses in Africa at 20%, 22%. So talking interest rate arbitrage with a margin of 10%. We've got a track record of 3 years now of deploying loans to African businesses. We do secured lending, so it's not microfinance. The loan sizes are anywhere from 100,000 pounds up to £1 million, all loans properly secured. And once we're able to access cheaper pools of capital using the Bitcoin as collateral, it's going to just exponentially amplify our business. And it's high impact lending. So for the tree huggers and those who wear an impact lens on their investments, this is business that creates thousands and thousands of jobs for every 10,000 pounds invested, we could create one job in
Yeah, and
Africa.
I just want to add to that, Zach. I think the what Warren's describing is how our underlying business is very synergistic with the Bitcoin play. Very, very synergistic. But yes, on a base level, the typical accretive dilution to increment the BTC per share is definitely part of the business. The point is that we have an underlying business that's very synergistic with Bitcoin. So, what Warren's describing there is having a galvanized balance sheet enabling us to raise more capital from fixed income markets to deploy in the way that we've done. But we could also do hybrid instruments where we could melt Bitcoin up with fiat and offer out loans like Bitbonds, where an SMME could get, 90% of it is fiat and 10% is Bitcoin. and the performance of that over the term, we can split with that SMME, and that's a kind of a budget neutral way to aggregate and increment our Bitcoin treasury. So those type of players you'll see, and we are launching a little later than the rest, but we've seen the best practices. We've seen how Bitcoin treasury companies right now are struggling. So you've got a hotel company that's trying to articulate what its onward strategy is. You've got a graphics design company that's trying to articulate. You've got a business intelligence company in the United States that's trying to articulate. We believe our core premise and who we were before we converted into the Africa Bitcoin Corporation is very synergistic. And I think we'll be one of the few Bitcoin treasury companies in the world that will demonstrate that the core business being very synergistic with the Bitcoin play can have significant scaled human impact across the African continent. So that's how we will differentiate ourselves. And I think we're going to demand quite a premium relative to that. So I think our float will be small. I think the pent-up demand across the continent is significant. If you take a look at our play from a business perspective, being very synergistic with Bitcoin, these things are very unique, and we're quite excited about it.
And so, just on the detail, a little bit more detail. I mean, you've given a good detail about how the actual running of the business, but just a question that maybe some people will ask. The part of the sizzle here is that it's Africa. How are you able to go from one country to the other? Do you have to get a new license every time? I mean, how does all that work? Because you could be killed by red tape and all the other geographic and all the other political issues as well, I suppose.
Warren, let me handle this one as a first, and then you can add on to it. Let's do it that way. So what we did was very recently in the last couple of weeks, and by the time this comes out, when listeners listen to this, it will be probably a couple of weeks already. We do listed in Namibia. And the reason we do listed in Namibia was a couple of reasons. Number one, a significant pent-up demand. They actually contacted us, just like many other African countries. And their bosses have contacted us to do the same thing when we made the announcement on the JSE. We do list it in Namibia. And I think the objective there was to demonstrate that we have the capability to do this. This is our continent. Warren and I have grown up in Black African townships on the ground over here. We know the people across the continent. We've done business. We've got history. We've got experience. And I think the Namibia listing, the dual listing, was to demonstrate that we're capable of doing this in a legislative, a responsible manner. And we've done that. So we do list it. Our target is to list in the next five largest low-hanging fruit markets across the African continent, and absolutely creating an opportunity for each one of those countries to get exposure to our security relative to their boss, which gives them levered exposure to Bitcoin. Warren, I don't know if you want to add on to that.
So Zach, this could become a quagmire of compliance, right? But the exchanges we work in with all recognize the JSE as the primary sort of exchange. And to that end, we aren't going to have to do translations of our financials into Nigerian, Niger, or into Namibian dollars or whatever the case is. So yes, there will be some increase in compliance, but very marginal given that we already have to maintain those compliance standards within the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. And the costs are also reduced because they do what they call a fast track listing. So it's not the typical process. They accept the rigor of your home exchange, and do a few spot checks, the KYC and AML. But so from that perspective, we haven't had to double our compliance team or anything of the sort. It's all manageable, and it's all necessary to create well-governed, regulated access points across Africa. And the play is, Africa is very thinly traded, illiquid markets, and the idea is not to enter those for liquidity. It's access points for the citizens of those countries where they can't easily buy Bitcoin. But certainly, we do need liquidity, and that's going to work through listings on Frankfurt in the US and in London. So we'll have those deep capital markets providing liquidity, access points in Africa, and that'll be the flywheel around getting into the business.
I think another thing just to add there, Zach, is that You can't really do this anywhere in Africa besides the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. If you take a look at the liquidity levels on our stock exchange relative to any other African country, if you take a look at our governance, our maturity, our interlock and our integration with the UK, the USA, Europe, on a technological basis, a bourse integration level, there is no other place to do it in Africa. And so we're quite excited relative to our position, the opportunity that lays ahead, and where we are. And if you take a look at who we are on the JSE and our MOI, our Memorandum of Incorporation as a business, we're probably the only business right now listed in the JSE that is capable of doing this with a board that has the necessary agility, with the regulatory relationships that we have with the South African Reserve Bank, the lower level groups, all the way down to the Johannesburg Stock Exchange themselves. So this gives us a moat. This gives us an opportunity to uniquely execute. And coming back to the point I said originally, in each market, you will find a dominant player. You will find a player that leads. I believe the Africa Bitcoin Corporation will be that across the African continent because of all these factors.
It's finally a more human question. You mentioned the word township, which if you're my age
Yes.
and older, it's almost like horror. It's like almost like a sounds quite horrific because the whole Soweto thing and all the other stuff, apartheid and everything else. Things have obviously moved on. You've come a long way and everything else. But are you, just as I said, on a human basis, are you aware of this sort of Africa and Africans need to have like role models, trailblazers, ambassadors for the country, ambassadors in business, commerce. So, it's a good example. Africa Bitcoin Company listed in December 2025. By 5 years later, it was this, it was that, it'd gone to America, conquered the world, whatever it is. That kind of thing. We need positives, examples, whether it's not just on the compliance and governance and everything else, but just also the trajectory of the company and what it's doing.
No, absolutely. I think one of our board members, his name's Gigi Alcock. Please go Google him, and he's written a couple of books about the informal economy across South Africa and Africa. And I think one of the reasons the West doesn't understand Africa much is because of the sophisticated informal economies that we have. Yes, it's very cash driven, so we can't really track what's happening over there. But we have families that live in those townships. Warren and I still visit those townships. We come from those townships. We are township guys that are doing this. So this is who we are. So we're bringing Bitcoin to our people. We're bringing our people to Bitcoin, and we're very excited about it. And I think is Africa rising? Is this finally its point? I think those questions are misnomers, and I think they're incorrect. The informal economy in South Africa, in some estimates, is 35 to 40 times larger than the formal economy. And that informal economy is very sophisticated. It's just not measured in the way that you and I may do it with our MBAs, etc. But the way the cash structures work in those communities is extremely sophisticated and very modern and very forward-thinking. And we think the opportunity to educate our people, to bring those SMMEs that we have a relationship with via our traditional SMME engagement business, is an opportunity for us to unlock those informal economies and open them up to Bitcoin. Because those folks are not interested in not your keys, not your coin. They are not Bitcoin maxis. They are not people that understand technology, but they understand the value proposition. And if we can give them exposure to an asset, that gives them exposure to Bitcoin. We think that pent-up demand on a township level is underestimated right now. And we're very excited about creating the rails to enable that. And that's for our people. And that's the conviction that drives this play. It's not just an economic decision that Warren and I made. We need to do this because Bitcoin was made for us.
Warren Wheatley and Stafford Maisie from Africa Bitcoin Corporation. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Zach.
Thanks, Zach.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.